Nain is a village apparently very close to Nazareth, so this is a very real event, close to Jesus' childhood home, not a fanciful tale. A young man is dead. His widowed mother has lost her only son, whom she loves. But she has also lost her independence in the community. She will now have to count on friends and family to support her. Jesus comes upon a funeral procession, a supportive crowd, including even professional mourners, we're told, which indicates at the very least that this woman would now be, she'd be dependent upon the charity of others, but she wouldn't go without. It's a small town and it's a supportive community there. So we might note a couple of the things that that happened here. It says that Jesus touched the pallet or the funeral bier, the place with the, that the body was sitting on, which, if we understand the Jewish culture and the ritual purity laws, is actually a shocking gesture, because it would make Jesus ritually unclean for a week. This impurity, which we understand to symbolize sin itself, is overturned dramatically with Jesus' word, arise. By bringing the dead to life again, he eliminates the very cause of legal defilement and therefore its undesired effects. And later on, for this, the fullness of the meaning of this is that Jesus' touch, Jesus' healing, saying to us, arise, means that he has overcome the effects of sin itself. And it says he gave the young man to his mother after he had risen and he spoke. He gave him to his mother. This is taken verbatim from Elijah's healing of the son of the widow at Zarephath, indicating that Jesus is in this line of prophecy. Jesus gives the son back to his mother, restoring that relationship, of course, the mother and son. But Jesus also restores the mother to her place in the community. It's not as if she would have been second class after that. It just means that she would not have to be so dependent on her friends and family or neighbors. So Jesus restores her to her former relationship with the community. And we see this over and over again in all of the miracles. There's this aspect where Jesus is the great reconciler. Jesus brings people back together into relationship. All of his miracles, his healing miracles, yes, there's a restoring of physical health, but the underlying spiritual meaning is always a restoring of relationship. So this is something for us always to look for. Now, the community there prefigures the one that Paul is talking to, the Corinthians, where there is one body in Christ, which has many members through baptism and faith in Christ. And we could say much more about that. What is the good news today? We need to remind ourselves to take great courage in the facts of the good news. The facts. The reality. And we need to tell the world that the events of the Gospels are historical. On Sundays, we have Mark telling us that Jesus did this, and then he went there, and then he did that. And these weekdays, we have Luke continuing to roll out for Theophilus and for us his orderly account from eyewitnesses, so that we may know the truth of what happened concerning Jesus. And the story of this son returned to life and to his mother, and this mother returned to her community, does not just tell us Jesus' power over death, as important as that is. It means much more for us. For who else do we know who had a son, a gift from God, whom she loved, but then she became a widow and later had to watch her son suffer and die? Who else do we know who was given into the care of a very close personal friend of the son's, and so was to live in that dependency, into the care of the disciple whom Christ loved, which is, of course, really all of us? And who else do we know who was restored to her relationship with her son because he was raised to life after being killed? Yes, the unnamed widow and the unnamed son foreshadow for us. But here is where today's widow and today's son are types. They are foreshadowings of a mother and a son whose relationship took on much more meaning. Commentators often cite St. Augustine, who says, paraphrasing, the widowed mother rejoiced at the raising of that young man. Our mother, the church, rejoices every day when people are raised again in spirit. Jesus seeks us out, who knows us to be dead spiritually, and only he can bring us back to life. And so I want to conclude by looking prayerfully at key words in the last part of the story. Fear seized all of them, it says, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." It says, fear seized them at what they saw, because of this, they glorified God and said that a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people. I'm repeating those words. As I conclude with this prayer, which we know well, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever.